This Amish boy met a Pentecostal girl and we fell in love. And there was an explosion. And April 4th, we'll be celebrating 50 years of marriage. So, hallelujah. We're all about connecting, right? And Pastor Harrison and the board here realized that that first church way back there, that church that was birthed out of the Holy Spirit falling, and that they had four things that they were doing that caused the church to grow and explode. And Pastor felt like the Lord spoke to him and said that one of those things was kind of partly missing in our fellowship, and that was fellowship. And so big emphasis starting next week is coming together as different people in different groups, connecting our lives together and sharing the Word of God. And I just want to give a testimony of my wife and I go to Argentina, and we go to a church that's been birthed out of a big church, and they've gone into a smaller city where there's a lot of demonic oppression and witchcraft. And they just got together and started eating together. And when they eat together, the power of God is released and it falls on them. And we were just privileged last December to be in one of those wonderful meals. And we're just sitting there and the presence of God was so strong. And they've birthed like 20 couples out of and started a church just by fellowshipping together. But for a little history of who we are, my wife and I, we have a ministry called Voice of Life Ministries, and we've been privileged to travel over 25 years to all different nations of the world. We just bought tickets to go to the Philippines March 13th, and we'll be there a month. Just came home from Argentina last November, December. We had 36 meetings in 31 days. The people say, how was your vacation? Well, it was wonderful. We saw well over 400 people come into the kingdom of God, give their heart and lives to the Lord Jesus. You're a part of that, church. But throughout the years, fact is, Walter's here somewhere, right? Anyway, my wife met Walter in Argentina over 25 years ago. A year later, came to Iowa, lived with us for a year. Then his parents came to the U.S., and Walter and his parents went to Spain as missionaries. Walter Garcia, there he is. Woo! Anyway, through that, and we ministered many years at that mission that they had, his parents had, and Walter was a part of in Spain. So it's unbelievable how God works through networking and through getting together and fellowshipping together. But through the Voice of Life Ministries, many of you have given into our ministry, and we appreciate that. You've been praying for us. We need that with all of our heart. But over the years, we've helped build houses and churches, and we still are building a few churches in the Philippines. We're helping remodel a warehouse for a church in France. We help with orphanages around the world. But we get together with leaders, have a little conference, 2-day, 3-day conference, just encourage the pastors, and we go out to individual churches. We see the power of God. We see miracles. We see people coming up to us the next year and saying, you know, everything you prayed about came to pass. Everything you prophesied came to pass. And it's not us. We don't even remember what we said. But when the power of God is released, anything can happen. Pastor Cody was talking that there's a power that God is here with us today, even though we came in feeling alone, feeling discouraged, thought that the whole world was on our shoulders. Today, I want you to know that the power of God is here to set you free, to deliver you, to cause hope to come into your life, to let an anointing of the presence of God. I tell you what, when you're in God's presence, you can believe that anything is possible. We have seen it. We have seen legs healed. We have seen goiters disappear in people's lives. Not because of us, but because the power of God was released and the level of faith grew. We were in southern Spain in a gypsy church one night, me and the missionary, and it wasn't Walter this time. And there was an elderly lady in her 80s in a wheelchair, and she hadn't walked for over 3 years. And back at, we were holding up feet, you know, and her one foot was like 6 inches shorter than the other one. And we just held them up and started to pray, and all of a sudden that foot just grew out past the other one and came back even. She jumps out of her wheelchair, and she starts to walk, and then she points to her knee, and her knee's locked up, so we pray for her knee, and now she can walk. And then she points to her head and says she's dizzy, and we pray for her head. And she walks down to the wall and back, and the place went wild. There was a gift of faith that was released there, and we could do anything that night. I'm telling you, that's what that first church looked like back when the power of God was released upon them. There was such a strong anointing that it brought fear to all the people in the town because of the things that were done by the apostles. I'm telling you, if we can just get a little bit of that in this church, we'll have people standing waiting to sit down. Not because of us, but because of the power of God that will be released in our midst. And there's many people out there that need to hear about the Lord Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, if our gospel is hid, is hidden what? To those who are lost. And verse 4 says, because the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest that glorious light of the gospel should shine in upon them. So we see that we're living in the last days where the God of this world has blinded people. There's a veil on their face. They can't see the truth. And it's time that the truth is not only spoken, but lived in our lives. That we live the truth, that we live a godly life. And that brings me to the title message this morning, Behaving Wisely. Not a necessarily a pretty title or a fun title, but it's a necessary. And we'll talk about David for a few moments. Let's go to the scripture, brothers. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Verse 5, hallelujah. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and behaved wisely. Right there it is. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all of the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Let's go to verse 14. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Let it bring life to our spirits. Let it connect with our mind and body, our soul, that we can understand what you want from us today, Lord. Touch people's lives today and minister hope and life to them in the name of Jesus. Amen. It's exciting to be where the presence of God is. Here we talk about a young man, David. He just defeated the enemy of Israel. He killed Goliath. He was a youth, basically unknown. The Bible says that he had seven brothers. Three of them were in the army, and he was the youngest. They didn't like him very well. But he was a shepherd boy. Now, 1 Samuel 16:12 says he was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, this is the one, anoint him. God chose David from all of his brothers, and God anointed him to be the king. Some of his qualifications as we go to verse 18. Saul, one of Jesse's sons from Bethlehem, is a talented harp player. Not only that, he is a brave warrior, a man of war, and has good judgment. He is also a fine-looking young man, and the Lord is with him. Wow, girls, you think you could find a young man like that, huh? Woo! Hallelujah. I don't know if there's too many of us around. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The man that God is describing here is an example, I believe, of what God wants from us as men and women. Not necessarily dark and handsome and beautiful eyes, but his character and his qualities. Amen? David's wisdom and his conduct, the way that he behaved himself in the open, in front of people, opened many doors for him in ministry and as a king. And I believe that if we will learn to do the same, if we will act wise in these days, that it will open up doors for us to minister to people who don't even want to hear the gospel, let alone even know about God. And I think it's important that today that we are an example of a godly man or woman or young person. Saul gave the orders, David obeyed. He did what the king told him to do. He was not the king at this time. And his obedience opened the door for him to become captain of the army. There was promotion. You want to be promoted? Behave wisely. Hallelujah. Through David's obedience and wisdom, there was acceptance and favor with all the people, even Saul's servants, as we read. And through his behavior and wisdom in all of his ways, he found favor with God. And it says the Lord was with him. His behavior and wisdom brought fear to those who didn't like him, even Saul. But because, you know, if I could say because he behaved wisely, he used himself wisely, he conducted himself wisely, the results, he became famous. Not that we want to become famous, but he became famous. And through his wisdom, he took 400 men. This is what it says about the 400 men. They were in debt, they were discontented, they were distressed. He took those 400 men with those three qualities, if you want to call them that, and he built an army. And you read a couple of verses more, and pretty soon he had 600. And then it was in the thousands. He stayed in the wilderness away from Saul because Saul tried to kill him, and Saul was jealous of the anointing that was on David's life. But David behaved wisely, even when he could have killed his Saul. He honored the office. And he cut off a little bit of his robe when he could have stabbed him with a spear, and then he repented that he'd even done that. I tell you, if you want to read some good stories, get in the Word of God. I mean, kids, you can't find a better book. More stories and more power. Hallelujah. For now, for us today, enough about David for a few moments. How about you and me today? What is God speaking to us? I believe that he's calling us to arise. We're living in the last days. We're living in an evil world. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 3, the disciple was saying, "What will be the sign of your return and the end of days?" And he said, "There will be much deception in the world, and people will arise and say, 'Are they are the Christ?'" He said, "There will be wars and rumors of wars, nations against nations, kingdom against kingdoms. There will be famine and pestilence." Anybody hear of any pestilence lately? Coronavirus is moving rampantly across the earth, and we've had all different things in the past 10 years, the last decade. It says there will be wars, rumors of wars. There will be famine, there will be pestilence, there will be earthquakes in different places. Anybody hear of any earthquakes lately? Just the other day in Haiti, I think, out in the ocean. He says, this is just the beginning of the woes. So we're living in the last days. How quickly we're moving into that is going to depend upon not our government, but upon the Lord. How quickly we usher in the end times is going to be up to God. He makes those decisions. But I believe that there's a nation that can pray and cry out to the Lord, and the Lord will hold his hand. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't pray. I believe that we as the church can make a difference. We can turn the heart of God toward the unsaved. Moses did. The people were disobedient. They were complainers and grumblers, and God said, "I'm going to wipe them all out." And Moses said, "No, you made a covenant. God, you can't do that." And he stood his ground. I believe today if the church will pray, what does it say in 2 Chronicles 7:14? You know, we repent, turn from our evil ways, confess our sins, that God will look upon our land and heal our land. Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." Going to verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Verse 16, "redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Verse 17, "Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Circumspectly, what does that word really mean? Perfectly diligent. Living the gospel by the way you conduct your life. The Lord is speaking to us that the days are evil, that we're living in the last times, that we need to redeem the time, that it's time for us to awaken and start acting not like the world, but like a true born-again believer who has had a change of heart, who has had a change of speech, who's had a change of attitude, who knows how to act when there's pressure and there's disobedience all around. This is what God is calling the church to do. Amen? Okay. Behavior means conduct, how we act and live. Wisdom is knowledge guided by understanding. We have a lot of wise people in the world. They have so much knowledge, but they have no understanding of how to use that knowledge. Pretty obvious as we've watched all the commercials in the last couple of months. Proverbs 10 and verse 3. Hallelujah. "Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding." I like that first part. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. But he writeth for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Wisdom is a gift of the Holy Spirit. There are 9 gifts given to the body of believers, and wisdom being one of them, the word of wisdom. We need that gift. We need that gift flowing in our lives. We need the power of God moving in our lives. Hallelujah. We go to Luke 21 and 15. Jesus says in the last time, in the last days. This is what he says previous to this word. In the last days, in the end times, "I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all of your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist." Wow. The Lord says, "I'm going to give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries can contradict." Why? Because what the wisdom he gives us is going to be rooted in the word of God, the truth of God's word. And you can't stand against this word. It is the power of God. It is the voice of the Lord. And we need to make sure that we use this correctly. Hallelujah. So the Bible, I believe, is teaching us that we need to use wisdom. We need to pray for wisdom, right? We should practice wisdom. Are we going to be successful? How are we going to be successful in connecting to each other through this time of transition where the pastors open doors for us to come together more and more? How are we going to really connect with people? And this is what I believe that the Lord has shown me, that we have to learn to act wisely. We have to practice wisdom. We're living in an evil world, people looking to try to kill us, do us harm through what, murder or evil spirits. So there's 3 things that I talk about: a relationship with the Lord, cultivate love in your life, and 3, exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if we can, that's just a few of the things that God wants us to do. But if we can grasp a hold of these 3 things, a lot of the problems that we have in life are going to be changed. First of all, because if we reconnect to God, let's go to that number one point, connect with God. Hallelujah. You know, good behavior starts with what? A right spirit. To receive the right spirit, we have to connect with God. We have to connect with the Spirit of God. We have to connect with that Holy Spirit. And it only takes place because I live right, because I dress right, because I give tithes, because I'm faithful in church. No. Those are all good things. But to receive the right Spirit of God, it starts when we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've made so many mistakes. I need your help. Can't do it on my own. So we lay our sins at the feet of Jesus and we say, not only confess them, we repent from them. We say, Lord, forgive us for our wrongdoing. Forgive us for our sins. And then after that, we make a change. We don't keep doing the same things that we've always done. And see, the message of the church today is, and the worldwide church is, just believe in Jesus. I've heard it at funeral services. I've heard it in the messages. And the pastor says, just believe in Jesus. My Bible tells me in here that the devil believes and trembles. It takes more than just believing. There's a lot of people say, I believe in Jesus, and their life doesn't show it. The way they live doesn't show it. The things they do don't show it. The fact is, well, I'm not going there. Repent, be converted. When Peter got up after the Holy Spirit came on him, and he preached that powerful message and told the people they had just crucified the Messiah, they begin to cry out and say, what shall we do? In Acts 3 and verse 19, it says, repent and be converted so your sins may be blotted out and that the time of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. You want to be refreshed today. You want God to feel God in your heart. You want to feel close to God. You want God to move miracles, do miracles for you. And we come to the Lord and we repent, confess our sins, and we turn away from those sins. Hallelujah. I know your amen on me really strong today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo. See, repentance and confession changes our sinful nature, take on God's nature. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, what? All things have become new. And we have received the Spirit of God, and the old demonic sinful nature has been pushed back. We've taken on God's nature now. Now we must cultivate. Oh, come on. We must cultivate. Work with that new nature, because that sinful nature tries to come back and tries to take over. So this is a start, I said, a beginning. Just where we start, we put our foot in the right direction where God can begin to move supernaturally on our behalf. It's a place where we start expressing self-control. And when we express self-control, then we can connect to each other. God can really bring us together and really bring unity in our midst. Sure, we have some habits, bad ones, that need to be changed, right? Don't amen me too loud there. How did we end up that way? How did we end up with bad habits, doing something bad over and over and over and over and over again? So how do we change that? We start doing something good over and over and over again and stop doing the bad and start practicing what the Word of God teaches us, being holy, living holy, speaking holy, thinking holy, doing the things that God says in this Word will bring us into a relationship with Him. So if you're doing something wrong and you know it's wrong, stop doing it. That's from God's word, not me. I can't do it. Some of you say, I can't do it. I've tried and I just keep failing. I can't, I've done it over and over and I can't stop. Psalms 12. Hallelujah. There's a couple of verses there. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. Verse 2. They speak with everyone within the neighbor. That's not the scripture I wanted. I think it's 121, brother. I'm sorry I put that down. But help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's where our help comes from the Lord. And another scripture verse which we'll read, Hebrews 4 and verse 16. I think they have that up there. But let us therefore come where boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Say, I can't do it on my own. I've tried. I've failed. Then here's scripture verse to help you. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. There's grace at the throne of God. There's forgiveness. There's mercy there. You say, but before I came today, I did an awful sin and I shouldn't have done it and God could never forgive me. There's a scripture verse that says that he can. You come boldly into his throne with repentance. Say, Lord, forgive me. I need help. I can't be strong on my own. Relationship with the Lord is only as strong as the time that we spend with him. Relationship with the Lord is only as strong as the time that we spend with him. Are you hearing me, church? Relationships are formed by spending time together. We help each other. We help each other be accountable. That's one of these things, the benefits of having these groups and starting these groups is if you're a person that has a problem overcoming, you gather in a group where there's other people who maybe have had the same problem and same experience, and they're going to help you be strong and overcome in these areas. We help each other as we connect together. But you can never connect with the Lord if you don't spend time with him. Say, well, do I have to read for 5 minutes a day? Do I have to pray for 5 minutes a day? Well, that would be a good start. But we need to pray without ceasing, the Bible says. In other words, when you're driving down the road, you can be praying. And maybe I used to tell people, maybe it's okay to shut off the radio while you're driving and just start talking to God, you know, praying in the Spirit in your heavenly language and letting him minister to you. That's the time when God has spoken to me the strongest. When I'm driving down the road for hours and I pray in the Spirit. When we were pastors, I was young. I didn't know much, still don't. But I needed a word for Sunday. I needed a word for the people. And I would pray as we're driving down the road. God would start speaking to me. He'd even give me the scripture verse. He gave me different points of the message while I was in communion with him. If you want to have victory in your life, start talking to God. Start praying. Start interceding. Speaking in unknown tongues, in your heavenly language, you'd be amazed how it would change you and your situation. Let's move on to number two, cultivate love in our life. God speaks to us and says there's only one kind of love, and I want to read that for you. If they get the scripture verse up there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting with verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And we'll stop there. Love never fails. And I want to go back to verse 5. If you go to the King James Version, in verse 5, it says, does not behave itself unseemingly. And I looked up that word unseemly, and that says it means immoral or improper. Love does not act in an immoral or improper way. And it led me to read in Romans 1, verse 27. We won't go there, but you need to look that up and read Romans 1, 27 to the end of the chapter. Because it shows what immorality does to a person. It shows what acting improper does to one's person. But as we read these verses on love, did anyone see themselves in there? Does not seek its own, is not provoked easily, thinks no evil. Right there, that kind of hits a bunch of us right here, you know. Boy, I'm going to get him because look what they did to me, you know. Is that God's love? Oh. We have weird ways of thinking and speaking sometimes, but really it's the old sinful nature that's trying to take over again, you know. We've been rebirthed and reborn, and we're taking on God's nature. We're supposed to do what? Live a life that other people want to live. You know, people are brought into a relationship with God. Sinners are brought into a relationship with God, mostly won over from darkness into light, three different ways. Most of the time is by your actions. I've had people say to me, if that's the way a Christian lives, I don't want to be one. But I hope they can look at our lives and say, if that's the way a Christian is, he can rejoice and be happy in the midst of his trials, and when he's sick or has a disease, he's still praising God. I want to be like them. Hallelujah. They have problems, but they rejoice through their problems. And they say that most people are won to the Lord through your testimony. There's three different things. Through your testimony, through seeing and experiencing signs, wonders, and miracles. And number three, by your genuine love, that you love them unconditionally, you care about them. That's the way the world is won to the Christ, by your actions that are wise, and your conduct which is wise. We move on. But there's one thing I want to bring out about love. Through the love of God in your life, when you practice it and live it, it takes you into a supernatural realm where the unbeliever cannot go. You enter into a realm where God works miracles, does things for you, reveals himself, does all these other things, and they cannot go there because it's not the same spirit. I want to live there. Somebody said we can soar like eagles, but we have to live with the turkeys, you know. If we're soar like eagles, hopefully we can get a little bit of that eagle life in us, so when we come down here and live with the turkeys, we can be an example of an eagle. Exercising spiritual gifts. The Holy Spirit was sent and released to us by Father. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm not going to leave you alone. But I'm going to send the Comforter, the Counselor, which is the Holy Spirit, so that you'll have somebody that lives with you, abides with you, works with you, walks with you. I remember growing up, we slept upstairs. No heat in Iowa. We had a register that was above the stove at night, but they turned the fire down downstairs. So it got very cold upstairs. And we had a outdoor toilet, so us kids wouldn't have to run outside. We had a little porcelain potty upstairs, little bucket. Sometimes that'd freeze over. Honest to goodness, it'd freeze over. But the point I'm getting to, on that bed, Mom had made the biggest comforter. I mean, it was thicker, I think, than the mattress below us. And the minute we went to bed and put our PJs on downstairs around the stove, ran upstairs, climbed underneath that comforter and pulled that thing all the way over us and stayed there all night until it was time to go back downstairs and put on our clothes. The comforter. Ooh, hallelujah. The comfort of the Holy Spirit covers us if we'll allow it, will watch over us. John 16:13 says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. Through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that the Lord released from the throne for us, who is with us today. Who is with us today? Any more amens? Who is with us today? Hallelujah. Jesus isn't here in person, but the Holy Spirit is here, in person, to guide us, direct us, and lead us in truth, bring revelation to us. Because he will not speak on his own authority, but what he hears the Father speak, he's going to bring in revelation to us so that we have hope for what's happening in the days to come, tomorrow, and in our election, in our nation, in the nations of the world, so that we can have hope in our spirit and not be afraid. Don't turn on the radio or don't turn on the television unless you've turned on Jesus in here first, okay? Ooh, hallelujah. So if our goal is to behave wisely, we need the gift of wisdom, right? That comes from the Father. There's some other gifts, I believe, that we need to exercise as well. Well, let's talk about Solomon for a few moments. And I'll close here very shortly, okay? As the Lord leads. Hallelujah. Solomon was the wisest person that ever lived. Hallelujah. In 1 Kings, it talks about it. Chapter 3, verse 12. Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. Wow. Even Ken Jennings is not wiser. Those of you who watch Jeopardy might know who that is. 1 Kings 4:29. Read that. And God gave Solomon wisdom and exceedingly great understanding and largeness of heart like the sand on the seashore. Wow. You know, we saw David, Solomon's father. And just for a few moments, I'll go back to David's life. There was a time in his life when he behaved unwisely, and there was a lot of circumstances followed. But he changed his life and got back to where God wanted him to be. And out of the loins of his disobedience, God had mercy and grace, and Solomon was born. And Solomon became the wisest and the greatest person that has ever lived or will live, God says in his word. Wow. David was a wise shepherd, he was a wise general, he was a wise king, and now his son becomes the wisest man on earth. So using wisdom and being wise, I believe, is showing us that can be passed down from generation to generation to generation. And you're not amen me. Just as being a bad example can be, a curse can be passed through three generations, I believe wisdom can be passed through generation to generation. Hallelujah. Solomon used this gift of wisdom to rule peacefully with all of the people of the land, even his enemies. He used wisdom to rule the kingdom, and there was peace with his enemies. There was not war. he behaved wisely. He built a temple for God. There's never been a temple that's been built of that magnitude to this day, and we've had some beautiful buildings in the world. But there's none that has ever been exceeds that one. Solomon was so smart, if you want to use that term, I think young people would say that. It says he spoke 3,000 proverbs. His songs were 1,005. He could quote, name the trees and animals, birds and creeping things and fish. He had all this knowledge. He could name all that stuff. And people came from nations just to sit in his presence to learn from his wisdom. Wow. I think we need to exercise spiritual gifts. Wisdom being one of those. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 4 that I speak and preach, I come to you not with persuasive words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration. Demonstration, I like that, of the Spirit and power. He said, I don't come to you because I've learned so much stuff in theology and I know all these good words to say, but I come as an example of the power of God and the Holy Spirit of God, so that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Today, we need our wisdom rooted in foundation in the power of God. Hallelujah. God wants to bring life where there's death. Everywhere in this book, the only time that there's death mentioned and a horrible death is when we're disobedient. 99% of the time it talks about life and that in abundance. It talks about how if we obey him, he will increase everything that we touch. As we obey him, he finds favor with us and miracles take place and people do things for us that they would never do for anyone else because we're obedient to his word and his commandments. The only time we hear the negative is if we live in sin and walk in sin, and he said there's a hell that's prepared for those who disobey. Burning with fire. I know we don't preach about hell anymore, but it's real because this spirit never dies. My body is going to decay and my flesh is going to decay, but the Spirit of God that lives inside me will never die. And if we're connected with God, we go on to be with him in glory in heaven. But if we're disobedient, that spirit goes into the deepest earth, into hell, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and fire so hot. They don't scare me like that. Hey, I grew up hearing those sermons every Sunday. It used to scare the jeebies out of me. In fact, it scared sin right out of me. I repented. Said, Lord, come quickly. I don't want to go burn in hell. You see, we have to speak the truth of God's word. I said I was about finished. Okay, hallelujah. Spiritual gifts are given to each of us so we can help each other. God has released the gifts of the Holy Spirit so we can help each other. As a body, we can grow together. We can connect together. And I believe in this time, this season of this church, that the spiritual gifts have to start flowing. What are those gifts? There's 9 of them mentioned, and I can quickly go over them. Word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. I believe that's number one that we should ask God for, discerning of spirits, because we have evil spirits come in these doors to destroy the church and destroy the work of God. And as pastors and leaders, individuals, we need to know what that spirit is. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. There are vocal gifts, which are prophecy, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and then there's working gifts, gift of faith, gift of miracles, hallelujah. Gift of healing. God wants the gifts to awaken in us. Hallelujah. So that we can do his work more fully. I have about 5 minutes. But here's the fruit of the gifts. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5 and 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you say you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, then your life should show that you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We can behave wisely. Hallelujah. We can behave wisely because that's what God has instructed us to do. You young people, you can behave wisely when all of your peers are doing all kinds of things that are wrong and against God's word. God can give you the strength to behave wisely, act wisely, obey the word of God. I'm coming over here because God has given me a word for this couple. The Lord says, I'm changing things that you've been praying about. There's some things that you felt were real key in your lives that needed, that you wanted God to do for your lives. And it's just beginning to be opened up for you. The Lord says, I'm opening that door. It's unlocked already. I'm opening that door. And he said, you're about to enter through that door into the season that you've been asking me for. It's just a word to encourage you today. God's doing what you've been asking him. He's heard your prayers. I don't know if it's work-related, ministry-related. I think it's a combination of both, what the Lord is showing me. But get ready, because God is doing something exciting for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We go throughout the world speaking hope to people, and hopefully, prayerfully, that we say the right things. We go back year after year, and people confirm things that have been said, that they were from God. I don't remember them. But God uses the gifts to awaken people's spirit and make them hungry for more and more. And that's what's so important in this day and this age, is that we allow God to use us with the gifts that he gives us and imparts into our lives. I don't know who you are, young lady, but there's something good. You know, you carry the countenance that people look at. So I believe that you are someone who will make a difference in the world. In the days to come, it's like your name is going to be known. It's for God's glory. So just remember that God has a plan for your life, and it's a good one. Hallelujah. I will quit. I will quit when God says quit. Somewhere back here, I think it's this young lady right here. The Lord brought you to Iowa. Not just to babysit for pastor. But because there's a mantle on you that you haven't walked in yet. The Lord's shown me that very strongly. That the call of God is on your life. You said, wait a minute, that's on past my brother, not on me. But God is saying something to you to awaken that dream that you had many years ago and spoken into your life. But you say, because of things that have happened in my life that can never take place. But the Lord says, no, it's still my plan for you. So you understand that everything's in line as you step into that place, and he will take care of you and bless you. Hallelujah. Brent, will you come to the piano in closing? The gifts of the Holy Spirit are to encourage each other, the body. Are we ready to connect? If not, have you connected with God? Not this morning. There's an opportunity for you to do that. You can call on God. You can come boldly to the throne of grace so that you can find mercy. You can come boldly into his presence. It doesn't matter what you've done yesterday, even this morning before you came to church. According to God's word, because the Holy Spirit has not been removed from this earth, there's still hope for you and still a plan for your life. And God wants to use you. Ooh, hallelujah. The lady that was dancing this morning, God just spoke to me. He said, you and your husband will walk in the fullness of dreams that you have written down about 2 years ago, that it will be fulfilled. Hallelujah. Go ahead and start worshiping. But if you're here today, you've never connected with the Lord, let's do it. Why are you holding back? Don't hold back. it's an opportunity for you to find hope, find yourself free from habits and strongholds that have held you back. So let's just stand together this morning. If you're one of those that says, I need my life to change, I want to connect with the throne of God, I want you to be brave and just come stand in front of us, because that'll show the enemy that you really mean that you want your life to change. There's others of you that maybe need someone to pray with you, and we have prayer teams lined up. I don't know. A couple of prayer teams will be up here on the side. You have something that needs change. Thank you, Cody. You stay close. Come help. Hallelujah. You've come up, make a declaration that some things need to change in your lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Whether it's one or 500, says the angels in heaven rejoice as you decide to change your lives and serve God. Ask God to come and be a part of who you are. Because I see in you that you've been appointed a leader by the Lord. I can see that in my spirit, and God shows me. The enemy has robbed you of that. So we're going to pray with you and invite you in. Say the prayer and repeat after us the prayer of repentance. It's for the wrongdoings, and then ask God to come into your life and make you strong. As we do that, if any of you have a prayer need, we have two different prayer partners, prayer warriors that want to intercede with you. Just go ahead and let them pray with you. But before we do start that, we're going to pray. We just ask you to repeat after me. I guess your name is Derek and Caitlin, all right? And this is Pastor Cody, and Pastor Harris is on vacation. We'll be back next Sunday, but we welcome you to the family of God. And that doesn't mean that you have to come to this church. We, of course, welcome you to this church. We welcome you, first of all, to relationship with God. As we pray, I just ask you to repeat after me. Heavenly Father, we come to you.
Father, we come to you.
We confess our sins.
Confess our sins.
We ask you to forgive us.
We ask you to forgive us.
Make us a part of your family.
Make us a part of your family.
We want to serve you with all of our heart.
We want to serve you with all of our heart.
So help us be strong in these days.
Help us be strong in these days.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And this church family, this church family is going to stay with you and help you if you keep coming, whatever. But we have many people in leadership like him that will help you. So go ahead.